75% of Americans believe in UFOs. 30% of Americans believe UFOs are vehicles from other worlds. And 3% of Americans believe they have been abducted by aliens. That's over 8 million people. They're out there, aren't they?
Welcome to the UFO Files Show with your host, Jerry Pippin.
Well, welcome to the UFO Files, and we have a very special guest with us, the one and only Farah Gudurzai. How are you?
Hi, Jerry. How are you? I'm fine. Everything is perfect.
It's always a pleasure having you on.
Same here.
And you're on from our little studio in Secaucus.
Yeah.
And you don't live very far from there, but you did ride the train over.
Yes, it is only a 10-minute train trip from Hoboken to Secaucus.
Now, let's get right. There's some things we want to discuss, but I thought we would give the audience a little bit of a background, if it's okay with you, about you. How long have you been in this country?
Well, 4 years. I have been here for 4 years.
And you go back to Turkey at least once or twice a year, sometimes more.
Yes, generally once, sometimes twice. I visit Istanbul, my family, of course.
Now, you have written several books that were published in Turkey.
My 4 books published in Turkey, in Turkish language, and they are still in bookstores. One of my UFO books is a bestseller in Turkey. And my 2 books are UFO investigations, based on UFO investigations. And I have 2 novels, fictions. And they are considered the very, very good samples of Turkish horror books. So as a female writer, I did something very rare, and I wrote 2 fantasy horror fiction novels. So they have a very good reputation in Turkey, and now I'm writing.
Well, I think you have a good reputation here in the States too.
You've
been involved in lots of psychic and paranormal things, including a TV series.
Yes, I did the TV series last year for the Learning Channel, The Tenants. It was a paranormal investigation. It was about ghost hunting.
In fact, aren't you working on some paranormal psychic type investigations right now?
Yes, in fact, I have been very busy. I was very busy in all summer. As you know, I'm working very actively as a spiritual advisor and a psychic. So something that I was doing in Turkey, I started to practice the same thing in the United States too. I get calls from many families who complain about the negative activity and paranormal strangeness in their houses. And when I go there to work with them, sometimes, yes, there is a ghost haunting. The place is really haunted. Sometimes the place is built over an old cemetery, or in the building, in the house, old cemetery woods were used, so this causes the negative energy.
But so you're saying that you can sense these ghosts or paranormal figures?
Yes, very, very clearly, yes.
How do you explain that? I know you're psychic.
This happened, in fact, in my family 3 generations away. This happened first time with my grandmother's father, because he had a strange encounter with some strange beings. And after that, my grandmother, her sisters, her brothers started to develop psychic ability. So probably this is a karmic lesson, or at the same time, it is a brain functioning. So spiritually and physically, you become a psychic.
Yeah, when you walk in there to a haunted house,
do you see
apparitions?
Yes, I see the ghost people.
You do?
Yes.
And what form are they in when you see them?
It depends. For instance, in one place, if that place is a real ghost-haunted place, there may be ghosts from different time periods, from the last century, or from 1930s, or from 1975. And in one of the cases that we investigated for the television show, I started to see a young teenager boy, and he was very clear, he was very obvious in the house. At the end of the investigation, we found out that he was a traffic accident victim who died in 1977 in front of the house. There is a road in front of the house, and he was driving drunk. Probably he even didn't have a driving license. Anyway, so he caused a traffic accident, and he died in that spot. And since then, his spirit or his ghost, his energy, cannot leave the house. So these things happen. But there is one more thing that I want to mention here. In some houses that I'm invited to check spiritually, there isn't any ghosts, but there is a negative energy. There is a paranormal strangeness. Sometimes house owners, family members, cause to this negativity. And in that case, what I'm doing is reading the house's spiritual energy and giving them a spiritual home makeover. This is something extremely useful. And when I give them a spiritual home makeover, many things change in their life.
How does that work?
Well, it works, first of all, basically, with my psychic reading. But in that case, I read the house, because house has a soul too, just like an aura, just like any other being. And in some cases, families neglect their houses. They don't take care, and they don't listen the needs of their home. In that case, between the home and the homeowners, a negativity starts, and this causes the unhappiness, many health problems, not only psychological health problems, also physical health problems. Discussions between the family members or the married couples or between the parents and the children. So what I bring them, what I give them, what I call this spiritual home makeover, has two steps: physical makeover and the spiritual makeover. So it is something very, very simple, but it is very useful. And I use my psychic abilities, and also, as I'm coming from Turkey, as a native Turkish person, we have our traditional ways to keep our home spiritually clean and pure. This is something very simple, because here I see that many people is looking for something. They are looking for a miracle. People are going to yoga classes, meditation classes, to find their own spiritual ashram, their own spiritual center. And sometimes they travel to other countries overseas, and of course they spend thousands of money. But when they come back from the travel, or from the yoga class, from the meditation class, they find at home the same old circumstances.
Mm.
So you can spend all your money in travels looking for a guru, or in yoga classes, or in meditation classes, but as long as you don't change the circumstances, you don't finish the problems inside of your home, you cannot have any nirvana in your life. So my rule is, first take care of your home spiritually and physically, and then you are going to find your inner peace.
So in other words, the house you live in, literally, physically, has a lot to do with what is happening to you spiritually?
Very much, definitely. You are very right. Yes, 100%. There is no doubt on this.
We talk about things like this, and you see these mm-hmm. ghosts or these people on the other side.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
You're not talking about something like a shimmering, transparent thing. You're talking about they're literally there. You see them like they're there.
Okay. Of course, I see them inside of my third eye.
You talk about that third eye. We've had discussions about that when we've been together, especially in Laughlin. What do you mean by that?
Well, spiritual eye. We have our biological eyes, but we also have our spiritual eye, and we call it the third eye, which is considered located between our two eyebrows. It's a very special psychic point. But when you touch, of course, there is nothing there. It is not on your physical body. It is on your astral body. So when you are activated or when you are on psychically, you start to see things. There are different kind of psychics. Some of them see, some of them hear. Mm. So I can see them or I can feel them. And how it happens automatically. When I go inside of a house or when I'm in an office place, it doesn't have to be a house. Sometimes in the office places there are things too.
Okay, now when you go to a haunted place and you make contact,
mm-hmm.
What is your objective exactly? Do you just say to the people they're here, or?
Yes, I start to my walkthrough in each house, in each room. And if there is something, of course, there may not be anything. If there is something, I start to describe to the homeowners what I see. It may be an old man trying to communicate with the homeowners. It may be a little child trying to say something. And when we were doing the television show, The Tenants, we had very, very interesting cases. And all these cases were also investigated by historical researchers. So it wasn't only the psychics who were doing the research. Also, the historical researchers checked the background records of the family papers and everything. So what we were seeing or what we were found out was also searched by the other sources.
Now, the people that are dead, do they know they're dead?
Well, if they knew that they were dead, they wouldn't be ghosts, because being a ghost means that you are stuck between this dimension, this physical dimension, and the other non-physical dimension. Ghosts are generally victims of the horrible accidents or crimes or murderies, or somebody who is not ready to die, but suddenly because of a tragedy, just like September 11th, dies. Yes, this causes to be a ghost. And most of them, of course, are not aware that they are
now,
dead.
Now, you
people.
Mentioned September 11th. If we went down to the site where the Twin Towers used to be late at night, maybe you've been down there sometime or another. Have you sensed any ghosts there?
Well, I didn't make an investigation there, and it is something very sad. But I know other people sensed many, many energies there. But personally, honestly, I didn't want to do that. Because it is very sad, I mean.
Have you ever been to a cemetery? I mean,
yes, of course.
Out there?
Of course. Cemeteries are very active. and it is very easy to communicate with them where the cemeteries are.
Do you have a feeling about what's happening on the other side? What kind of place is this?
When I'm not busy in this side, mm-hmm. yes. So,
curiosity.
Do you
get different
stories?
When you say
the other side, oh yes. In one of the cases, for instance, I entered into a house, and I sensed that a little child died there. But his existence was only one of the ghosts. There were other activity too. And we found out that the ex-owners of that house lost their baby boy who was 2 years old from cancer. So we found that baby's cemetery and everything. But in that house, there were other problems that I refer to spiritual home makeover things. So I explained to the homeowners what causes the problem and what they have to do, what they don't have to do. And it was very dangerous because they were ghost activity and he was at the same time an abductee.
Aha. Uh-huh.
So in some cases that I worked, people were abductees and at the same time they had paranormal activities in their home.
We want to follow that yes. up and get into the subject of UFOs in general when we come back before you does. I'm going to take a little break. We'll be right back.
Hi, I'm Bill Burns, and I'm here to talk about the 20th anniversary issue of UFO Magazine for September 2006. You know, for 20 years, UFO Magazine has been covering every hot topic in ufology. We have covered everything from George Adamski and Billy Meyer in the early days of UFOs, Ed Walters and the Gulf Breeze sightings. We've covered abduction stories. We've covered Betty and Barney Hill. We've covered all the top stories, and in this issue, we just recently covered Whitley Strieber's new book on alien abductions. So look for us, and look for a 20-year retrospective of the top UFO stories since even before 1986 to the present. That is UFO Magazine, our 20th anniversary issue, on the stands this September.
We've been talking about ghosts and the paranormal, and at the break, Farrah Yudoza mentioned the connection to abductions and ETs.
Yes.
Let's get into that.
In some paranormal cases, there are alien abduction and at the same time paranormal activity related to the families. That case from New Jersey was one of these. And the target was the man, the husband. They were a young married couple. And he wasn't aware of the alien abduction because he never read anything about UFOs or extraterrestrials. And he was focused over the paranormal ghost activity. So after having some conversations with him, I tried to explain him that he was a target of an alien abduction because he used to see a small being around his bedroom and by his bed, in fact, and he was thinking that it was a small being, but he didn't know what was that, and he was seeing the being as a gray shadow. Anyway, but as I told you, there were some paranormal activities too, and I very clearly said on the camera, if they don't solve their problems, this marriage is going to finish. And of course now they are getting a divorce. So they didn't listen to the experts, and they refused the possibility
of
abduction.
You're saying that even in some divorces and broken romance and love affairs, the paranormal can enter into it.
Yes, because spiritual world is much stronger than we believe, or we think.
We've read books, seen TV shows, movies about fatal attractions, loving someone who's gone. I imagine you've run across a lot of those stories. Is there any relief for people trapped in these sort of relationships?
Yes, first of all, if you lost somebody that you love, and if you want to communicate with that person, it must be for positive reasons. Each soul has a journey and has a karmic destiny. So sometimes it is not good to try to communicate with your deceased ones, because you have to let them go. But if your deceased ones is stuck as a ghost, it means that they try to communicate with you and they have something to say. They have something to tell. They have a message. So the best thing is to find a real psychic or a medium and create the communication in the right way and try to find out what is necessary to help the ghost or your deceased relative or loved ones, and trying to help him or her. But everybody has to be very careful in these subjects, because the next step, when you are not careful or when you are not trained, the next step is possession. So it can cause real serious problems, sometimes mental problems, sometimes emotional problems.
So in other words, you're recommending perhaps some sort of communication, but
if it's necessary. Yes, very much.
We have definitely about 10 minutes left on the show here. I want to get into the UFO thing. You wrote an excellent column this month on UFOs, by the way.
Thank you.
For UFO
Thank
Magazine.
You. You too.
And let's talk a little bit about, we have a Roswell series running now.
Yes.
And you were involved in investigating the Roswell autopsy film, right?
Well, let me tell you in this way. I have never been to Roswell in my life. But, of course, I have been very much involved of Roswell crash case and the following Roswell alien autopsy. So, I guess it was almost 10 years ago when the famous Roswell autopsy movie by Ray Santilli was on Turkish television at the same time on many other countries internationally, European and American televisions. Everybody was very, very excited. And we were hoping to see something real. So in those days, I was doing television shows and I was writing in Turkish magazines about UFO cases. So we watched the Ray Santilli's famous UFO alien abduction, alien autopsy movie, and I said, for me, Roswell UFO crash is a real fact. It really happened, because it wasn't the first crash case and it is not the last crash case. And I really believe that alien autopsy was real too, and it was filmed by the pathologists or by the army doctors, whatever. But this alien autopsy movie by Ray Santilli cannot be real. And at that time, many people criticized me. I said this cannot be real for many reasons. First of all, as far as we know, extraterrestrials or greys, as Roswell crash witnesses described, have very big heads, very big black eyes. Their neck is extremely thin. They have very tiny bodies. Their arms are very long and very, very tiny, very thin. And so on, their legs are very thin too. But when you look at Ray Santilli's alien autopsy movie, the creature is fat. his arms have big muscles. His neck is very big. His eyes are not so large. His head is not very big, as abduction witnesses explain, or the Roswell crash case witnesses explain. And again, his legs have very, very big muscles, as if he has been in gym every day, and he has a very big belly. So the description doesn't fit. And there were other things doesn't seem very convincing. So when I explained my concerns about that movie, many people criticized me, saying that you don't believe anything, whatever. But now, in 2006, April, Ray Santilli confessed that he created that movie. He says that he saw the original Alien Autopsy movie, but when he bought it, it was in a very bad condition. It was oxidized. 95% of the movie was oxidized. So he decided to make another movie to restore the original one. Now, this is interesting because restoration is something that you do on the original piece, original movie or original art piece, whatever it is. When you create, when you make a new one, it is not restoration anymore. So he confessed that he hired a special effects expert and a sculptor from England. That person, that sculptor, made the fake alien, and they used animal brain to put inside the head. They also used the leg of a lamp to create the open wound on the leg of the alien, and they also used chicken pieces and animal pieces to create the fake autopsy. Now, I'm not very much surprised, because just like many other people in this field, we didn't believe that that autopsy movie was real. But I still say Roswell case was real. There is a real autopsy movie, but who knows where? And I hope that we will be able to see the real one.
We're looking for it, and with your help too, maybe we'll find it someday.
I hope so. And now, of course, this is very frustrating, because all over the world, not only in the United States, all over the world, many UFO investigators, or just fans, wanted to believe to Ray Santilli. And they took him seriously. They believed him. And years ago, 10 years ago, he said that the one that he has was the real movie. But now, 10 years later, he says that he made a similar one, looking at the original one. And he also says the original movie is in somewhere in Germany now, and who knows where. So this is strange, because he made a fame using the Roswell autopsy case, and he really tried to convince many, many people that he owned the real movie. And 10 years later, explaining or confessing that he restored, he used animal pieces, animal brain, and everything was fake, is very frustrating. And do you remember there was also an interview with a supposed cameraman? It was fake too. They just found somebody from the street, and they gave him a script to read, and he had no idea what was happening. He wasn't the real cameraman, and he used some innocent person from the street.
And fraudulent things happen all the time.
Yes.
And really doesn't do the UFO cause much good.
No, it's a big danger. It's harming. It's big harming. Yes. It is very, very dangerous.
But it's been, some time, and in your books you allude that maybe extraterrestrials have been here for centuries.
Well, sometimes we have to ask this question.
So what I'm getting at, Farah, is you would think somebody would have a real film, a real tape.
Oh, yes, I'm sure there is. I mean, I'm sure somebody, or not only one person, I'm sure the real film, the real autopsy movie is somewhere. I hope it is safe.
And I hope maybe they'll get in contact with us. You never know. Farah@jerrypippin.com.
You never know. Yes,
you're ready to investigate.
These things are happening.
We have only a couple of minutes left. You've been spending a lot of time in Manhattan. Lots of ghosts there, and lots of UFOs. Surprisingly,
yes, lots of UFOs. And now I'm writing. I'm still writing my fifth book. It is going to be published in Turkey when I'm done. When I finish it. And again, last year, when I was doing the television show, I met very interesting people, especially in Pine Bush. As you know, Pine Bush is one of the most important UFO spots in this area, in this East Coast. And once again, alien abductions and paranormal activity was together in a haunted junkyard. So imagine a huge junkyard, and the owners were the target of alien abductions for almost three generations. So I'm going to write all these latest cases in my book.
We're looking forward to that.
Yes, very good cases, in fact. Very interesting cases.
You have anything else to add before we close the show?
Well, I'm hoping that we are going to find out the real truth about UFOs. And I have been following SERPO project information very closely.
What do you make of that?
Well, it is very early to speak so far, but it is very excited. So we will see. We are going to find out new surprises about SERPO. There will be more surprises. So it is coming slowly, but very deeply, and it will be an impact.
Well, Farah, we always enjoy talking to you, and we enjoy working with you. We appreciate everything you've contributed to us.
Oh, it's my pleasure.
On our website.
And, it's my pleasure.
Perhaps we'll work together personally soon.
I hope so. I hope so. Have a very nice day, and talk to you soon.
Okay, thank you very much.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye.
And we have lots of Farah Yadoza stories we'll have to share one of these days. Until next time, thanks very much, Farah, for joining us. This is Jerry Pippin. Cheers.